Welcome to the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anna Glazer, MD, a reproductive and integrative psychiatrist here to help you make sense of the complex world of women's mental health. If your goal is to improve your emotional well-being, find fulfillment, and feel like your best self, you're in the right place. Welcome, my listener friends. I'm glad to be with you today discussing a very relevant topic: the impact of an abortion on a woman's mental health and the impact of lack of choice on mental health. I chose this topic, as you may have guessed, because of the leaked SCOTUS opinion on Roe v. Wade. In this episode, I'm going to share with you the data that debunks the myth that women who choose to terminate a pregnancy are more likely to be depressed afterwards. And I'm also going to talk about the psychological challenges of having to make a decision to terminate due to medical reasons, the experience of loss and grief, and the impact on mental health of having choice restricted. Let's start with the myth that an abortion leads to more mental health problems. We know that having access to reproductive choices actually improves women's mental health. Some have suggested that having an abortion worsens mental health, but researchers have answered that question. There was a study called the Turnaway Study that was a landmark cohort study on abortion and published in JAMA Psychiatry in 2017. This was a prospective study lasting 2 years over 30 different clinics in 21 different states. The participants were interviewed 1 week after a termination and then twice a year for 5 years. It compared women who were denied an abortion because they had presented to the clinic just after the clinic's date limit in terms of gestation, and compared those women who were denied an abortion to those who were able to have an abortion. And they included almost 1,000 women in their study. What they found was that women who were denied an abortion had similar rates of depression compared to women who had an abortion at the end of the 5 years. Women who were denied an abortion actually had higher anxiety, though, and lower self-esteem. In general, the women with a history of depression across both categories were those who were more likely to experience depressive symptoms, which makes sense. It makes sense that if you have a history of depression, you may be more likely to have depression again in the future, especially in the context of a challenging life circumstance. They also did not find any difference in post-traumatic stress. This study helped to answer that question, to debunk that myth that getting an abortion actually worsens a woman's mental health over time. In fact, it actually makes sense that the opposite would be true, that denial of choice worsens mental health outcomes. We know various psychosocial complications impact mental health and mood: interpersonal violence, trauma, financial stress. So it does stand to reason, then, that something that increases these complications would increase the risk for depression and other mental health conditions. There was a great statement that was put out by the president of the American Psychological Association just on May 3rd, and he said, "Rigorous long-term psychological research demonstrates clearly that people who are denied abortions are more likely to experience higher levels of anxiety, lower life satisfaction, and lower self-esteem compared to those who are able to obtain abortions." I think that's a very succinct way of stating the facts. Now, I don't want to discount those stories of women who have had a termination earlier in their reproductive years and find themselves having fertility challenges later in life. I want to mention that here because I do work with a couple of patients who are in that situation. Here's the thing: those events aren't related, but psychologically, that can be hard to bear. So one of the ways that I work with a patient like this in therapy is to really inform the woman that the outcome bias is one that we're all prone to. We have a tendency to judge a decision we made in the past based on information that we have in the future. So one of the most common examples of this, a really simplistic example of this that I like to use, is the example of an individual who decides to drive while intoxicated. And we know that that decision is one that is the wrong decision. But let's say that that individual manages to get home safely. And so the outcome is that nothing wrong happened, nothing bad happened. So if we were to judge that decision based on just the outcome, well, one would suspect that we could say it was a fine decision. But we know that that actually is not true. And that's an example of that kind of outcome bias, where we're judging an initial decision based on the outcome rather than the information that we have at the time when the decision is made. It's really important to separate out the decision at the time it is being made from the outcome. Next, let's talk about those heartbreaking situations where a medical complication, either for mom or for the baby, means that a woman or a couple have to make a very difficult decision about terminating a pregnancy. The term for this is a therapeutic termination of pregnancy, and I think it's important to emphasize that the word therapeutic is in the title of the term. The purpose of this is something for the benefit of mom, baby, family. Unfortunately, there are so many examples of this. One of the simplest could be an ectopic pregnancy, where the pregnancy is outside of the uterus. Another example would be where the baby is diagnosed with a condition that's not compatible with long-term survival after birth. For example, undeveloped parts of the brain or nervous system. And I've worked with many women after they've had to make this type of devastating decision. It is not easy. And can you imagine how much harder it would be without the option for choice in these kinds of cases? One of the most important factors for mental health in these cases is partner and social support. There was actually a review of this therapeutic termination of pregnancy cases in the World Journal of Psychiatry in 2021. They found that the number one important factor for mental health and for mental wellness in these kinds of cases of therapeutic termination of pregnancy was support. The most common quote-unquote diagnosis that I make in these kinds of cases is grief and bereavement. When I work with patients who have gone through this, the work really centers around acknowledging and processing that grief and recognizing that grief has its own timeline. Support, again, I'm going to say this word so many times, support is essential, whether that's a grief and loss group, a psychotherapist, reaching out to loved ones, and of course, focusing on self-care. The third situation I want to emphasize in this podcast episode is the impact on mental health for a woman who may not even be pregnant, but is recognizing the elimination of this choice as a form of assault, and sometimes because of a history of trauma, is having an expected trauma response. There can be an increase in anxiety, in that fight or flight or freeze response, and an overactivation of the sympathetic nervous system. The day after the news of the leaked SCOTUS opinion, I met with patients who were describing this response, but didn't know that it was happening. It's helpful to recognize this response as an expected trauma response, and from there, focusing on self-compassion, self-care, and support, both personal and professional. My purpose with this episode is to have shared with you the importance of reproductive choice on maintaining mental health and well-being, and to encourage those of you who might be struggling in the face of this decision to reach out, reach out. Reach out for support and look for ways where you can feel empowered. One of the most notable aspects of trauma is that a person who feels victimized often feels powerless. The antidote is to look for ways to regain a sense of empowerment. And maybe that's on a personal level and reaching out for help, and maybe it's on a community level and reaching out to help others and to organize. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode. As you know, my goal is to share with you the most helpful information that moves you towards emotional well-being. If you have suggestions or questions, I'd love to hear those. And I also always appreciate a rating that will help others find this valuable content. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Please note that while I am a clinical doctor, this podcast is not a substitute for nor should be taken as medical advice. No specific health advice is being given on this podcast, and no physician-client relationship is created by you listening to this podcast. All information provided on this podcast is for informational purposes only.